Hi, everybody. It's Psychic Dougal Frazier. I'm the queer guy with the third eye. My show is a call-in advice show that blends New Age practice with grounded advice. Call me with questions about love, relationships, career, abundance. No topic is off limits. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis. It's all happening right now.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. It's Psychic Dougal Frazier. Welcome to the show. Guys, I'm worked up. I want to talk about something, first of all, in Seattle. Good morning, Benny.
Good morning, Dougal.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Dave Aluck, good morning.
Hey, Dougie.
So here's the deal. On Sunday morning, I was sipping my Java, admiring our Christmas tree Hanukkah bush. It was a lovely morning, and I was going to Perez Hilton. Don't judge. We all have things we do. I was looking at Perez Hilton, and he'd uploaded what I thought was a really touching video, a YouTube post from a 14-year-old Jonah Maury, or Maury. We're not quite sure the last name, the pronunciation. But it was, right, that's the music in the background. It was a really sweet video about him being bullied, and I thought it was very creative the way that he did it. He had, you know, one sentence or phrase on index cards, and he would put them up to the camera and then pull them down. And it was really honest. He talked about the fact that he had been a cutter since, like, the second grade, that he was being bullied. He was being called, you know, every kind of gay derogatory term you could think of. And then what was interesting is that it was titled, I'm not going to kill myself, but I want to get this out there. And apparently it was recorded in August, and he was talking about his anxiety about going to high school.
Going to ninth grade after being bullied for all that time.
Yeah, yeah. And anybody listening, I remember that week before high school, which seems so scary.
It's intimidating.
It's a bigger school. Mm-hmm. Everybody looks older than you, all that stuff.
It's a whole new world for most.
It's a completely different new world. So he posts this video, and then the great thing about the video is it kind of transitions into this moment of strength where he is going to face the fear. He's not going to take his life. He's going to stand proud. He's going to stand strong. And I guess Perez had reached out to him. I saw it on Facebook. And so on Sunday morning, it went from like 100,000 hits that night to like 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to over 5 million views.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And then what's interesting is he got tweets from, like, Lady Gaga, Jane Lynch, Ricky Martin, Nick Jonas, Paula Abdul, Rosie O'Donnell, like, all of these people reaching out to him.
Well, it was very powerful.
It was really powerful, and he was really sweet, and he was replying and saying, thank you so much. The year has actually been going really well. I've made a lot of friends. And then he posted another follow-up video with a friend of his, just like any 14-year-old. He's smacking his gum. You know, he's sitting with his friend in his bedroom, and he's basically saying, like, I'm good. I appreciate the support. I'm good. So what has fascinated me is how many people in the media and comments that he's getting that he lied, that he somehow made up the video. I'm totally worked up about this because, first of all, you know, I'm a psychic, so I would know if he was lying, let's be honest. But secondly, you know, his emotions are so clear. They're so raw. They're so honest. And I think it's interesting that in the past year, we've been profiling and featuring people that did end up taking their lives. And, you know, constantly what we talk about is what could you have done, what could you have done, what could you have done? And here we have this example of all of these people telling this kid, listen, I support you, I've been through it, I've done it. And then he pushes through it and is doing well, and now he's being accused of being a liar.
I don't get why I don't understand where the lying accusation is coming from. Is it because he didn't kill himself?
Like, the lying accusation is coming from the fact that he posted the follow-up video. And keep in mind, guys, he's 14. So he does say, in a little bit of a flip attitude, like, I don't want to sound cocky, but my whole school loves me. And it's a very bold statement. And there is a sense of an ego there, but he's 14. You know, he's trying to find his voice. I can tell you, right, when I was 14, there were some days that it was like, oh, my God, nobody understands, you know, turn on the Tori Amos. You know, so I think we're being a little bit unfair. The kid's 14 years old, but I just think it's so interesting that there's so much speculation that he's lying. And it's interesting, you know, it's pretty common for me in my life to have people who, like, kids come out and they ask if I can talk to them. And so I have emailed back and forth with teenagers before who are struggling with coming out. One in particular who had a very similar story, happened to be a cutter, you know, having a difficult time in school. And like any teenager, there's that polarization of emotion. Some days you are, you know, king of the world. You can do no wrong. It's the most amazing thing. And then there are other days that feel very, very heavy. That's part of being a teenager. That's part of the journey, is finding your balance.
Yeah, and your hormones are starting to go crazy,
right.
And you're not a child,
right.
And you're not an adult, and
right.
You don't know who you are yet.
Exactly. You don't know how to control your emotions. And it's interesting because even on the show, my Facebook page today, someone listed, oh, he's a liar. And I'm just curious if you're listening, like, I don't know what that means.
They're
he's
just
a
trying
liar.
To get attention with that
don't
comment.
You think?
No,
yeah.
I know, so come on. The guy's got some real honest goodness tears. I've watched it like 4 times already this morning.
Right.
Just to kind of confirm what everyone else supposedly is saying. I don't see it.
Because I did the same thing, and at first I thought, well, you know, it's overly produced.
No.
Because he seems to hit his mark very well, but what gay teen doesn't understand when to hit their mark.
They're looking further into it than more than what it is.
I agree.
Jeez.
I agree. But what I think is interesting is we live in this culture right now that rewards the demise of someone. Whether it's, and don't get me wrong, I'm guilty of it. If it's a reality show where you're watching someone's life fall apart, or if it's a news story, it's like we're obsessed with that. But when it's a story of motivation, when it's a story of someone cleaning themselves up, it's a powerful thing. I think it's something that we all need to take a look at. I think the kids should be rewarded for being so vulnerable. I mean, I wouldn't have had the courage in high school to even if I did feel judged for an hour, to put up on a public platform that's how I felt. There's such strength in vulnerability. There's such strength in telling someone what your weaknesses are and what you're trying to work through. And I was really freaked out by the negative stuff, because I really think the kids should be rewarded. And with anyone, you know, we all have people in our life who are struggling with depression or negative thoughts, and there's a scale of how intense they can be. But the goal is to show them that you can push through that.
I think part of that also is just the internet. You know, like one of my weird, like, I don't know if it's a guilty pleasure, but I like to read comments on news articles. Like, you know, you scroll down to the bottom and you read the comments on YouTube videos, and people can be so nasty and rude and obnoxious and just mean. And I think that part of that is that, you know, it's not their face. It's probably not even their name. So they can say whatever they want.
I agree.
And there's no consequence. And I don't think a lot of those people would be saying the same thing if they were standing in front of him.
I agree. Yeah, I think a lot of people use it as a way to kind of vent and just...
Well, they have that sense of security of being still hidden.
Exactly.
And so they're like, well, I'm just going to say whatever I want.
Right. Exactly.
Why do you think we're in radio?
Right.
They can't see our faces.
Because you can't see our faces. I never thought of it that way, man.
You're welcome.
So anyway, I just thought it was interesting. If you haven't seen the video yet, go check it out. I'd love to know your thoughts. You know, look at the viral video. I mean, look at the updated video afterwards, his post thing that he says. But just remember that he's 14, and go back to what that felt like. You know, we all have that inner child that, you know, is the pimply-faced kid with the squeaky voice. And all right, maybe that was mine. But
no, that was me, too. I'm still dealing with a pimple, so, you know.
Me, too. Exactly. I know. Don't you feel like at a certain point you should?
Just a little bit.
But I just feel like it's interesting to go back and, you know, have some compassion, have some empathy.
Yeah.
And again, I think the kid should be rewarded for feeling his emotions and then pushing through them.
And the title of the video, if you're going to look for it, is called What's Going On.
Right, What's Going On. And again, it's on our Facebook page as well. So, guys, we have a very exciting show today. I'm super excited. In segment 2, we're going to be introducing our special guest, Stephanie Risley. She's a hypnotherapist and wrote a really amazing book called Love from Both Sides. And it's interesting. I get emails all the time of obviously people contacting with loved ones and deceased relatives and all that stuff. But Stephanie had a really powerful, intimate experience with someone, and I'm excited to share it with you. So when we come back, if you want to join the conversation, you can go to transformationtalkradio.com, click the instant feedback button, and I may read your question on the air. And Stephanie's been so kind to give away a free gift, so you don't want to miss that. Guys, it's a very exciting day. I'm Dougal Fraser. This is the Dougal Fraser Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own. More than you.
Hi, guys. It's me, Psychic Dougal Fraser, and joining me is Colette Baron-Reed. Colette, do you want to tell them the news?
You bet I do. Next April, I've asked Dougal and psychic Dr. Carmen Hara to host a Caribbean cruise with me.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. You guys, on April 21st, 2012, we will set sail from Fort Lauderdale, Florida on a seven-night journey through the Western Caribbean. Where are we going, Colette?
We're going to all the best beaches, Princess Keys in the Bahamas, Curacao, Aruba, and when you're not enjoying the sun, there'll be readings, lectures, and classes taught by all of us.
Guys, you really don't want to miss out on this opportunity, so if you want to get more information about our Caribbean cruise, Psychics on the Sea, go to ColetteBaronReed.com or DougalFraser.com. Click on our appearances or events page and you can find out how to join. Colette, I will see you on the Lido deck.
You betcha.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community, presents Healing, a spiritual event, Saturday, December 3rd, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. in Seattle. The event features free mediumship and energy healing demos, lectures in crystal light therapy, alchemy, meditation, psychometry, and psychic art drawing with the masters. At 6 p.m., the doors open for a rare opportunity to experience hands-on healing by the Ascended Masters. To register for this evening's seance, go to theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Do you feel trapped by your own bad habits? Are you still eating the wrong foods or smoking? Or just trapped in self-destructive thinking? If so, help is available at StephanieRisley.com. Let certified hypnotherapist Stephanie Risley reprogram your brain. Her Power Tools of Transformation CD series can help you take control of your life. Call 323-933-4377. Or go to StephanieRisley.com.
Hey guys, I'm doing it. I'm just telling you right now, I'm in full-on holiday spirit. I've started my shopping. We've got the Hanukkah up. We've got the tree up. It's happening. Our Buddha even has lights on it. So I am super excited. I really want you guys to listen to our next guest. We have an amazing healer today. My friend Stephanie Risley, hypnotherapist, author, I think an amazing healer, author of the book Love from Both Sides, which I've just started and I really, really love it. Good morning, Stephanie. Welcome.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
Good. So I find your book, first of all, educational, but also extremely romantic. So can you talk about your journey, about what the book is about with your husband? Because I think it's pretty powerful.
Well, my book is about a transformation. It's my transformation. It's his transformation. My husband died in my arms 10 years ago. And what happened was he was the love of my life, and I had not met him until I was 42, despite the fact that we are still soulmates. There are so many different kinds of soulmates, but we were meant to meet in this lifetime and do a regular life of, hello, let's have kids. Because usually we come in as warriors together, guys together. Mm-hmm. And we always used to joke that we thought we were just gay guys. That we were probably priests together. Well, it turns out that we actually were nuns together in a past life. And this was our payback life. Mm. So we were supposed to meet in 1970 when we literally lived around the corner from each other in Berkeley. Mm. and I was 23 and he was 30, and I would pass a corner at Parker and Ellsworth, and there I would pop in, my brain would go into I'm Sadie, Sadie, married lady. Mm. And I would think, oh my God, it's 19, I shouldn't want to get married, but I had just passed him now on the street. Now
so you didn't make eye contact?
No.
Didn't even notice him?
But
your energy picked up.
The energy picked up.
Gotcha.
And I went so far as, it was like, you just, if you're following your gut, you mm-hmm. just, I went so far, well, I hate doing laundry, and I didn't have a laundromat, so I knew there was a building around the corner that was more modern, and they had a laundromat, so I went in there, and I remember standing next to this big hunky guy with the beard and the glasses, and my nose turned and went like, oh, hello, but he didn't turn, and I know it was him. Mm. He never turned to answer me and to say anything. And it wasn't for, 20-something years later when we kissed for the very first time.
20 years later.
20 years later when
amazing?
We met on a blind date. And it was like 20 years of my knocking on doors, you know, foreheads and going, are you the one? Are you the one? And everybody saying, no, I mean, essentially. And people would look at me and say, well, you're such a pretty girl. Why aren't you married? Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he was the guy that I was sort of encoded for. Mm. And when once you meet that, you miss that connection. When we did meet, I didn't. We went out on a first date, a second date. By the third date, he said, "I think I love you," and I went, "Oh Jesus, God, this can't
didn't
be."
Didn't he ask you to marry you though?
On the fourth date? Yeah. And we hadn't even kissed.
Yeah.
So that was very interesting.
And were you, when he asked you, were you freaked out or did you feel the connection?
No, I it was like, okay, well, what time is it? I have a rehearsal to go to. And I went, hello. I mean, we had just talked a lot and I was actually in love with someone else. I mean, I was infatuated with an art director who was doing a big film up on Back to the Future 3, I think it was called. But so, and I wasn't really paying attention because I hadn't heard from him and I was 42 and I could do what I want and I was just, you know. I was like, I was in film school. I was totally no nonsense. Mm. But so then this guy made me an offer I couldn't refuse, which was, hello, you really want to have a kid, don't you? And I said, I did. I'm 42. It's too late. He said, no, it's not. Marry me. We'll do that. I eyeballed him and I went, you sit right here. I'm going to try out the merchandise. Okay. So it was, to do that to a man is terrible. But I did. Once I tried out the merchandise, I really got up and I went, okay, I knew you were out there.
Yeah. So what I love is, so you fall in love with Dan.
Not until after I marry him.
Okay. And then,
I'm very vigilant.
So you meet the love of your life.
I do.
And then you lose the love of your life.
I lose the love of my life 12 years later because as we progressed in the relationship, and that's what the book really talks about, it's that you can meet the love of your life. But if both people don't step up to the plate and acknowledge it and appreciate it and really honor that love, then things can go wrong, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. So ultimately, I did get pregnant, but when I got pregnant, he didn't want that baby, and she'd been waiting to have us as parents. Mm. So it was like, and as soon as that flipped, it was as if a switch turned off, and the all that is said, we need her, you're out of here, buddy. Mm. And he immediately got sick. He died. And then he came back and essentially channeled this book to me. I didn't really, you know.
Well, that's what I think is interesting. So Dan passes away.
Dies in my arms.
And you go into, you describe your grief very intimately. You're very honest. And sometimes you're complaining about things about him. But then you're missing him. It's like this, this interesting flip.
It's actually the year of mourning where, I mean, he died in my arm. He whipped through me, and I could hear him behind me saying, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I'm thinking, what?
Yeah.
You can't be dead. How could
he
be dead?
And was that your first experience with having a clairaudient experience?
No. Okay. My sister had died. My sister had committed suicide. She'd come back. And also, I'd nearly died when I was 20. Mm. I had systemic lupus, and I had pericarditis, bilateral lung effusions, and I lived over here in Toluca Lake, and parents who didn't care about me, so I wanted out. Mm. You know, we were talking about suicide. Mm. I wanted out, and my body said, you know, okay, you want out, you're going. Mm. So But as I was dying, and I was, my body was really strong, and the gods did not want me to leave, so they pulled me back. That was the first, I had a near-death experience. I wanted out, I left, but the body essentially said, you're not so fast. And
this is what's interesting to me about your story, because you have a very intimate experience with death, with your husband, with your own personal journey. So then Dan comes to you, and it's like he... What's interesting is 1 minute it feels like you're talking to your husband that's passed on, mm-hmm. but then it also flips into kind of like now a spirit guide that's delivering information.
It does. It's like there's a chapter called Who the Hell is Enoch, where, you know, Dan, once he gets comfortable, and fortunately for me, I was not alone in Dan's communicating. I have a stepson who's now 38, and he was 28 at the time, and he was an executive at one of the studios. And he went into his son, Sam, and said, I'm not dead. This is far out.
Right.
I'm editing this.
I love it, though. This is far out.
This is far out. I'm not dead. It looks like I'm dead, but I'm not. And so Sam, I keep editing because that's not his real name. kept telling me that his dad was talking to him, and I'm thinking to myself, well, of course he's going to talk to you and he doesn't talk to me. But it was because I was in, for the first 4 months, he could not get near me.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because I get this email from a question from people all the time. Their loved one has passed, and they are absolutely heartbroken that they have not made contact yet. What is your thought as to what a block could be from preventing that?
Well, they can't get near because of the mourning is so intense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to explain it to people who haven't been in mourning, but there's the pain is so intense. Mm. The loss is so intense. And so that when they're trying to get in, the spirit himself doesn't want to feel that your own pain, and they do. Mm. It wasn't until I shifted the feeling from that pain to actually, I flipped into anger because I was like,
well, that's normal though, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's the progression.
Yeah.
And I had you know, my husband died, leaving me $180,000 in debt, no insurance, no retirement, no anything.
Right.
And voices
in your head.
And voices in my head, and I was going crazy, and I didn't have a job, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I thought I was going crazy anyway, but fortunately my background's from the Neuropsychiatric Institute.
So you know the signs.
I kept plotting myself out, going, okay, this is okay. Okay, this is okay, this is okay, I'm fine.
I used to do the same thing.
Yeah, no, I knew what I'm doing. So I knew what was this and what was that. But it wasn't until I knew I had to make a living. I was a writer, so I said, okay, I'm going to get a bunch of girls together. I had been writing a book called The Married Girl's Guide to Hot and Sacred Sex, because when I got married, I knew very well that marriages fall apart if you don't have sex. And I was just, you know, was trying to get everybody on the same page. So I got this whole group of women together, professionals, married, kids, the whole deal, and we're all sitting around talking about what does it mean to keep a marriage going once you have a career and children and a husband. And I'm sitting there interviewing them like my interviewer self, and suddenly I get this hit of this massive, I thought I was getting the flu. And I think, because I think to myself, I'm the only person here who, one, is not married anymore, doesn't have kids, and is not even having sex except from the in-between, because my husband was then having sex with me from the in-between.
Yeah, so let's stop with that for just 1 second.
How real is that? That is something that happens to widows all the time.
I hear it all the time. Not a lot of people talk about it.
No, because it is so, it makes you crazy, but you'd be surprised. I have emails up the wazoo saying, thank you for writing this book.
So what I want to know is, and remember, we're live. So when Dan comes back to you and decides that it's time for date night on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Is it in the dream? Are you dreaming? Are you in the in-between state?
Oh, no.
Okay, you're fully awake.
Fully awake.
And are you
fully on.
Are you conjuring him, or does he initiate?
He initiates. I was hornier on the other side than he... I went, how could you do? Couldn't you do this when you really had a penis, buddy? I mean, it would have been so much more fun.
So you have you had a more active sex life on the other side.
I wouldn't go that far, but we certainly had, no, I wouldn't go that far, but we certainly had an active, we had a very different sex life from the in-between where he was just, he kept saying, this is like so fabulous. I'm totally a horn dog. Can you do, you know, can we have an afternoon delight here? I go, I got work to do, buddy.
Right. Some of us are living in the real world.
Yeah, I know.
We can't do this in the grocery store.
Nooner. It's all about the nooner.
I'm totally fascinated by this story. Guys, we're going to take a quick break. And one of the things, if you're listening, that I wanted to ask Stephanie when I was first reading that part was, I wanted to know if that was a block from attracting a new relationship. So if you're interested in whether or not she's manifested another love, when we come back, we're going to be talking about that.
Oh, please.
My guest today, Stephanie Risley. For information on her hypnotherapy work, because she does amazing work, go to stephanierisley.com, and we're going to talk more about it after the break. I'm Dougal Fraser. Christmas music for everyone. We'll be right back.
Have you asked your dentist about periodontal disease? 3 out of 4 adults in Seattle unknowingly suffer from this painless but progressive infection caused by bacterial plaque. If not carefully treated, these bacteria can infect your gums, deteriorating the tissue and causing tooth loss. At Pacific Northwest Periodontics and Implant Dentistry, we offer a different kind of patient experience, providing the highest level of perio care within a relaxing environment. After a thorough examination, our doctors will take the time to understand your needs, address your concerns, and review a variety of treatment options with you. Our goal is to work with you to ensure the integrity of your dental health. Don't allow periodontal disease to take your teeth. Call Pacific Northwest Periodontics at 206-575-1086 to schedule an appointment. Or to learn more about periodontics, visit us online at pnwperio.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Do you feel trapped by your own bad habits? Are you still eating the wrong foods or smoking? Or just trapped in self-destructive thinking? If so, help is available at stephanierisley.com. Let certified hypnotherapist Stephanie Risley reprogram your brain. Her Power Tools of Transformation CD series can help you take control of your life. Call 323-933-4377 or go to stephanierisley.com.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Psychic Dougal Fraser. My guest today, who I adore, Stephanie Risley, author of the book Love from Both Sides. If you want to get information on this book, I'm going to put it on the Facebook wall today, and we'll also put it in our newsletter. It's a really romantic story about someone losing their soulmate, connecting on the other side, and then having an intimate relationship, and then a really profoundly spiritual relationship as well, and learning about the transition. So I'm curious, we were talking before the break that you guys connect intimately on the other side.
Like many widows and many people.
And if I may say, when I was first reading it, mm-hmm. my first thought, because this is what I do, was I thought, oh, she's blocking a new relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So when we met and we were talking, I said, so? Is this blocking a new relationship?
Well, it's been 10 years. No,
yeah,
so,
well.
No, I manifested. You have to be, you know, it's, I, first of all, I am a hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
And I was pushed into doing this because I'd started out to be a doctor many years ago and then got lupus instead and had to heal myself. And it was.
You were always spiritual, though. You studied the Seth material.
Oh,
like, you've always
been
interested in
that. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
No, it was the Seth material that healed me. And so when Dan died, right before Dan died, he handed me this training thing from a woman who was a little problematic, but a client of his, and said she's doing a hypnotherapy training. And I got with her and I realized I knew so much more than she did. And she immediately put me on the floor, and I worked with her for a while. And then I created my own business, which is what I do now.
Thriving.
It's thriving, but it's because my background's from the Neuropsychiatric Institute. And then I went and studied with Brian Weiss because of this. I love Brian too. I said, you know, I'm always working for you. He said, not all the time. So, but in melding the spiritual with the new brain research, I'm really very effective, and I manifest a lot of things, and that brings me back to what I decided to manifest for myself. And I thought, you know, it's time. It's been 10 years. I mean, the Christmas, Dan died the day after Christmas, so it kind of always, you know, for the last 10 years. I just think, you know, I'll pass on it. But you're so enthusiastic about Christmas. I think it's time for me to, like, step up to the plate again. So just recently I decided to manifest again. And so I decided I would manifest. I was married to a younger soul. I'd been sort of hanging out with the same age soul and friend with benefits, because girls need to have people's hands on their bodies.
Amen.
Yes. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll manifest an older soul. And I certainly did. I forgot to say and put him in an age-appropriate body.
How old is he?
He's very young.
You're
but
blushing.
I am.
You can't see this on the radio.
But waking up to this, you know, Greek god in my bed every morning is really fun.
And so does Dan approve?
I do not ask for permission,
okay,
you know?
That's what I'm curious about.
No, Dan incarnated and became a little black girl in Africa.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I mean, that's what the, you know, the book is interesting because
I haven't finished it yet, so don't give it away.
No, it's the first time where you really are looking at somebody, talking about what they have to do day by day up in the in-between.
Gotcha.
You know?
Like, did you ever see the movie Defending Your Life?
I love that movie.
I tell clients all the time, this is Hollywood's representation of something that's pretty close to accurate. Yeah.
Pretty close.
Everything's pretty close. I love that movie.
I love Albert Brooks.
So I want to talk a little bit about manifesting and how that connects to hypnotherapy. So one of the things, I know you specialize in past life regression, but you also talk about future progression. Tell me about that.
Well, that's interesting because there is no set future.
Correct.
There's all, you know,
says the psychic.
The point of power truly always is in the present.
100%.
So when people come to me, I just did this the other day for a beautiful guy who is very rich and is wanted to know which way to go in the future. And we'd done his past life, and he was a leader, a spiritual leader. And now he's Iranian and really stuck in the kind of Beverly Hills money world, which is not working for him. And so I take him on different futures as to which way to go.
Like different possible outcomes.
Probable futures.
Correct.
Now that's a probable future, and so he could see if he continues in this lockstep life, what it's going to feel like in his body, and if he decides to go on another way, what it's going to feel like, and so he can choose with consciously which way he wants to now trust. You got to trust your gut. But there were future progressions, and this is a really great one. This doctor came to me because his wife had this phobic reactions to knives. And once I had healed that, nothing had been working for her. And psychiatrist, drugs, nothing. So
she can't cut, she can't do anything.
No,
okay.
But when she saw that she had had all these past lives where she was forced to kill people with knives and all kinds of stuff with knives or had witnessed, she was cured, and he looked at me and he said, I need to come back to you. So then we did a past life where I went, and this is rarely happened. Now he's a doctor. He's an oncologist at Cedars. And we go back and we go back in time, and he's not human.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm not human. But this, he's from Altieri or some of the...
Way back.
Well, it's some sort of underwater thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened a couple times. So people go there. I go, fine, knock yourself out. You know, I just ask questions. But he said, then he came back and he said, I want to do a future progression. And then he said, I'm not human again, but I used to be human. I'm sort of human. I'm mostly mechanical.
Hmm.
And then I said, where are you? He said, I'm on one of the last ships. We're taking the people, the remaining people off of planet Earth. And he said, I'm human, but mostly I'm parts.
Hmm.
So that was future.
So when you're looking at someone's blockages, whether it's a fear or whatever, they're trying to manifest something, do you always think the root is related to a past life? Do you always go back first?
No. I go here first.
You go present.
I go present, yeah, because I work in chunks of five sessions. And in the first hour of the first session, what I do is I explain your brain to you from the perspective of the Neuropsychiatric Institute,
gotcha,
of the New Brain Research, and let you understand that your thoughts are actually creating the problems. On my website, there's all of these books that are all science.
And people don't see. I can't tell you how many times you think I'm a positive person, but all I hear in the subconscious mind is I can't, I won't,
right.
I won't.
So yeah. You've got it. Like it's awareness. So I do a full lecture in that first lecture, that's when I say to people, okay, if you like what I've just said, then we're going to do the second part of that hour, which is I'm going to make a CD to reinforce what you've just agreed to, and that's going to get you started on your journey.
I like that, to reinforce what you've agreed to.
Right.
Because don't we all walk out of that session being like, I'm going to lose weight, I'm exercising
every day? No, and they do. Honey,
yeah,
they do.
But to reinforce it,
you've got
to remind
it.
Yourself.
It's again, and it takes 9 months to form a new neural pathway in your brain.
Mm.
Okay, so
say that again.
It's 9 months to form a new neural pathway. So in that first hour, then I make a CD for people and I let them agree to it. Then they play it morning and night. And if I get an A student, man, do they have it down.
Okay.
Second session, I use my Jungian dream analysis. I had 6 years of Jungian dream analysis at the NPI. And I help people go down back to their subconscious mind, the right side of their brain, and they can then heal the inner child.
Mm.
They have an angry inner 13-year-old or 14-year-old.
Right, like we talked about, yeah.
We all have those.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a needy little inner 3-year-old that didn't get enough love. And forget about blaming your parents. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Once you can take the responsibility, I mean, that's why psychotherapy is just, they've proven that really is not that effective.
Right.
It just reinforces, hello, it's everybody else's fault. When you can bring it inside and go, it's in me, I'm going to fix it here.
Right.
So they do that. Then by that time, my clients are comfortable enough with me and they trust that I know what I'm doing. So they lie down on my couch and then I can do an easy regression to the source of their phobia, anxiety.
So could be past life, could be current.
If it is, I always look current first because, I have a screenwriter who came to me. He is a screenwriter who writes horror films.
Mm.
But he's got some other issues. When we went to his regression, it turned out that he had been sexually abused by his grandmother.
Wow.
What I got him to understand, instead of blaming her, I said, she gave you your career because he has these horror things that, of these big hands, but it wasn't, she was 2 and 4 and then 5. So there's so many people who have so many different experiences. And once you can, there are wives who hate their husbands, but they really don't hate their husbands. And when I get them to love, it's just about finding the connection to love.
Yeah. It's bringing something up for you.
Right.
Once you can touch it and feel it and then kind of let it go, then you can actually really connect with people.
Right.
Yeah. I love that. I think it's really powerful. I feel like just saying that you're a hypnotherapist isn't enough. Because it's a full journey. Yeah. It's like a soul journey that you're leading people through.
It's really transformational. And that's why I go, that's why I, you know, people call me all the time and say, well, I just want to know what I was in a past life.
No.
And I just go,
everyone's a Native American.
Yeah.
Why is it everyone's a Native American or a princess? No one wants to be a homeless prostitute in Paris.
Honey, those are my clients.
Right.
I get the homeless prostitutes in Paris. I think to myself, oh, God, it's another homeless prostitute in Paris. That's what I think. No, or it's
are you reading my bio?
That should be your tagline.
Is she reading my bio?
You feel like you're a homeless prostitute.
Right?
But it's interesting. Yeah. It's like people want to believe that in another lifetime they had no problems.
They always have problems.
Exactly.
As soon as I see the people on the horses coming, they go, the horses are coming. I go, oh, God, we're dead. We're it's okay. Dead. How do we die?
But that's, do you think that's an important process that you have to? Because any of the past life regressions that I've ever had, I have found the most powerful experience was when you get to experience the death.
Well, the death is essential. I just kind of try to get people. In a regression, I usually get to three lives because I want to get through, I call it the pancake life. Let's get through the life that comes up first. I mean, it's not always this way.
Right.
I want to get people to the in between because once I
explain what you mean by the in between.
The in between is a Buddhist word for what we would call heaven. It actually isn't any place. It's right here.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Physics wise.
You don't have to look up.
I know. You don't. It's right here. So it's a construct of an energy place where however you want to experience this. I mean, I dated a rocket scientist, and he's totally on the same page as I am because there is no here.
Mm.
You're okay. I won't even go there. But I get people to the in between, to the heaven place, to where all the souls are.
For the knowledge.
So that they can see their cluster group.
Mm.
The cluster that they are a part of usually has a purpose, a job, because most people, what I really do for people is I get them to understand that this is their best life.
Mm.
This is the life they're living now.
Mm.
And they've got to, one, get plugged into their purpose and know that their life means something.
Mm.
And once I can get them plugged into their purpose and get them on their way, that's all I do. I'm a guide.
And everybody has a purpose.
Everybody has a purpose. If it's just showing up and saying hello to everybody in the neighborhood
that's
and picking up the dog poop.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
But so it's getting up to the in between with they see this, I don't. They're just there. And I say, look around. Who's there? And they'll see enemies in their cluster group.
Of course, because there's something to learn. Those often have the most lessons.
Those are your pushback people.
Guys, Stephanie Risley, you are fascinating. You're definitely coming back. It's really, really interesting. Stephanie is giving away a hypnotherapy sweepstakes. So she's giving away some of her amazing audio stuff and one of the downloadable books, I believe. Is that correct,
David? All three downloadable e-books and the Power Tools for Transformation series, which is really great.
It's really, really good.
A set of five recordings. That can walk you through how to heal a lot of your issues through hypnotherapy. It's really, really great. All you have to do is go to Dougal's Facebook page. You can enter the sweepstakes there. Just click on the sweepstakes tab or go to his website.
And we'll announce the winner next week. So, guys, for more information, go to StephanieRisley.com. That's StephanieRisley.com or call 323-933-4377. Stephanie, thank you so much. You have to come back. Do you promise?
Yes, I'm back.
Future progression, people. I'm Dougal Fraser. We're going to take
back
a quick
in the old
break.
Hood.
We'll be right back.
Grateful patients have been saying it for 25 years. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. Dr. Thane of Wellness One of Bellevue has been named one of the nation's top chiropractors by the Consumers Research Council of America, and for good reason. He has helped his patients recover their energy and vitality after car accidents, sports injuries, herniated discs, fatigue due to stress, the list goes on. The website is bellevue.wellnessone.net. When in pain, see Dr. Thane. That's bellevue.wellnessone.net.
Do you feel trapped by your own bad habits? Are you still eating the wrong foods or smoking or just trapped in self-destructive thinking? If so, help is available at StephanieRisley.com. Let certified hypnotherapist Stephanie Risley reprogram your brain. Her Power Tools of Transformation CD series can help you take control of your life. Call 323-933-4377 or go to StephanieRisley.com.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Hi, guys. It's me, Psychic Dougal Fraser, and joining me is Colette Baron-Reed. Colette, do you want to tell them the news?
You bet I do. Next April, I've asked Dougal and psychic Dr. Carmen Hara to host a Caribbean cruise with me.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. You guys, on April 21st, 2012, we will set sail from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on a seven-night journey through the Western Caribbean. Where are we going, Colette?
We're going to all the best beaches, Princess Keys in the Bahamas, Curacao, Aruba. And when you're not enjoying the sun, there'll be readings, lectures, and classes taught by all of us.
Guys, you really don't want to miss out on this opportunity. So if you want to get more information about our Caribbean cruise, Psychics on the Sea, go to ColetteBaronReed.com or DougalFraser.com. Click on our appearances or events page and you can find out how to join. Colette, I will see you on the Lido deck.
You betcha.
Hi, everybody, it's Psychic Dougal Fraser. I'm sorry for laughing, but this morning I was like, I want cheesy Christmas music. I did not know that would result in the chipmunks.
That is the chipmunks. You asked for cheesy Christmas.
And you got it.
Be careful with what you asked for because I totally got it. Guys, Stephanie was so nice. She just gave us three books. So I want to talk about the sweepstakes one more time. Not only will you win all of her downloadable books and her audio series, but now you're also going to get why don't we give away, we'll do more than one person can win a book. I'm not going to send one person. David's
sure.
Giving me a face right now like you're changing the sweepstakes.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
So anyway, go to the sweepstakes. We'll select multiple winners and you will win something. Because I think her story is fascinating. I really think the fact that her husband came back and the whole intimate relationship, I just think that is really, really fascinating.
And I do think it makes sense that it would be something that maybe people experience but don't want to talk about too much because, I mean, it's not an easy thing to bring up.
Absolutely, yeah, and she's very, very honest about it. So, speaking of relationships, Benny, I don't know if you checked this out or you've heard about it, but there's a new show on TLC called Virgin Diaries.
Yes, I've caught some of the clips.
I mean,
really, people?
Well, first of all, I'm going to watch this back to back.
Of course you will.
It's not out yet, right?
No, it's not out yet. All over the news. So without laughing, they profile couples who have decided to save intercourse for after marriage, which is lovely. But this one couple in the commercial, not only are they saving that, but they are also not even kissing on the lips.
I saw this.
Did you see that?
It looks so awkward.
They rub noses.
Well, that
so
too.
They're like on...
Because they're not Eskimo.
Right. So they're on like a swing. They're in like a playground.
Right.
And they're talking about what it's going to be like. And they're like, well, he's going to take a shower. And I'm going to take a shower. And then we're going to foreplay it, you know. And then we're going to do it. And yeah. I don't know. This is just my opinion. But I feel like she's way more into it. She's definitely like, we're going to take Sharon, he's going to take Sharon, then we're going to get in the shower. Like she's,
that's 30 seconds.
Sorry. She seems really excited. And then they show their first kiss. Oh, sweet. Well.
Which was kind of aggressive.
It looks like a mama bird feeding a baby bird.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Like I'm munching up the food and then I drop it into her mouth.
It's kind of like he's seen so much on TV or in movies, like that's how you're supposed to do it.
I know. Yes. Now, mind you, I won't say her name, but eighth grade, it was the summer of seventh grade going into eighth grade because I did not want to go into eighth grade having not kissed anyone. So we were at a very fancy party, and I invited her to the gazebo like any good gay boy would. And then I probably acted like that, but I was in seventh grade.
Was it Rosie Palm? I practiced on my hand.
Did you practice on your hand?
No,
I used to practice on the mirror.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
actually.
Well, you want to see what you look like
sure.
coming in for the kill. So I'm fascinated by this show. David Sterling. Last night, I was telling David I was making him look at it online.
You were obsessed, and then when I finally watched it, I was like, all right, I get it.
Well, here's what I'm interested about. So I'm fine with the fact that you choose to wait until,
sure.
you know,
until
you
marriage.
Get married. That's completely fine.
But why are
fine.
You putting that on TV?
That's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. At what point does a producer come to you and says, I'm guessing, I don't know if this is true, but I'm guessing it's a religious thing. That's my guess. So maybe they want to promote
the concept.
Yeah, the concept.
Which is still great, but
lovely.
It just seems funny to save yourself for TV.
Do you know anybody, Benny, David, do you know anybody that waited until their wedding day?
Not good question.
That I know.
I know Benny didn't wait till his wedding
day.
Hey,
easy. Well, I guess that's kind of obvious, yeah.
I was going to say, you have kids.
I get in there. Hey, you know what? Stranger things have happened. Summation. You just opened it up there, dude. Well,
I'm sorry. It's totally my fault.
Oh, my God, they're mine? Oh, my God. Unbelievable. I have twins. Hooray.
All right, so let's become more family-oriented. Did you get your Christmas tree?
We did, yeah. We posted, or actually, I just posted it not too long ago on my page. We decided to scale back a little bit,
yeah.
And we got, like, a little baby elf tree.
Oh.
Yeah, because, you know, we're kind of running out of space. We have more toys and twins things, you know, that we need. So we kind of found a little, like, honestly, a 2x2 corner. And we got the little tree topper that's the size of the tree.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, well, it was pretty simple.
David came home because he has a family member that owned a retail store locally, and they closed the store.
Hook
so
up.
Their Christmas decorations, one of them was a fake white tree.
A pre-lit tree.
White lights.
Really?
And it came with silver bulbs. And David brought it in with, like, this big grin, and he was like, maybe we could put it in the front yard. I'm putting that tree in the front yard.
Does it rotate?
It should. It's that kind of tree.
You put one on a motor, yeah. I'll
so
send a motor
I said,
down to you.
Let's put it in the backyard on the patio.
Which was a great
idea. Which was a great idea.
Good.
But I have to say, it's very festive. I thoroughly enjoy it. And then we got it's odd, though, because now we have a fake tree outside and a real tree inside, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But we brought a tree up, and
what
I'm super excited.
That makes complete sense. I'm not going to interrupt you, but now you have the fresh scents inside.
Right.
And then the fake one can gather the fresh scents from outside.
And it gives the illusion of snow in
Ding.
Los Angeles. You're right. It makes perfect sense.
Okay.
And we just passed a Christmas tree farm where they had real white Christmas trees. I didn't know
that. It's a real tree that they then spray paint white.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's called flocking.
David's hopes are just dashed right there.
Everything Christmas tree related is new to David, because David's from a Jewish family, so it's all new. So I'm always giving him, you know, this is how it works. You got to feed it. You got to get real treats.
You have to feed it. Yes, you do.
You do. Well, when we got a tree, the guy warned us not to put seven up in it.
Yeah,
Who does
and
that?
I have never heard of that.
Apparently that makes, they think it makes it last longer. But there, what else was it? 7-Up and then...
Sugar. People, sugar I've heard water. You put sugar in the water, but that's not true. You're
yeah,
supposed
no.
to fill it with water mm-hmm. and the whole deal.
Water.
I'm totally feeling the holiday things. And what's interesting is, normally David and I don't exchange gifts. What we'll do is we'll pick, like, a household thing we want to buy, or we'll go on a trip and we'll book the trip. But normally we don't exchange gifts. But this year, because we're staying home alone, we're doing that whole holiday experiment. We're exchanging gifts. I'm having fun with it. David's having
a
meltdown.
I'm having a nervous breakdown.
Do you exchange gifts with Lindsay?
We do. This year's, I think, just going to be a little different. We're just kind of going with the flow. I mean, I know the boys are going to get a lot. We're still going to buy them some things, but... We're just going to, I think, scale back a little bit. I mean, I know we're going to get bombarded from just our family.
Do you
family.
Think your family's going to go crazy?
Okay, last year and the few years before, you know, my nieces are around that age of course, they like the gifts. And so as the older family adults, you know, we're just like, you know, it's not really our Christmases like we used to have them anymore.
Yeah, that's what
so
my
we like
family
to watch
does.
Them enjoy
exactly.
having a good time. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so this year, though, because we won't have any kids around, we're mm-hmm. going to exchange gifts.
You're welcome to fly up and see us.
Just because I'm not doing my family's drama don't mean I want your family's drama.
Hey, we have no drama. We love the Gunkles. You guys are welcome to join us.
I would love that. See, and I think when your kids are that young, you can get away with being like, look, we got new fabric softener. They don't know.
Seriously. That's pretty
they
much
have
how
no idea.
Excited.
It's kind of like as my grandmother would get older and older. It's like I'd start getting rid of
things. Just wrap
up, you know,
anything
like,
in the house.
Yeah, you know you love Eminem.
This is true. That's funny.
But now my nephew's old enough where he knows what he wants.
He
has a list.
Sure.
He's having you scroll through the internet on it. All good.
Highlights the ones. Put stars next
exactly,
to her. Like, this
exactly.
is a priority.
I've realized, I think this is our first hour of a call-in advice show where we didn't take a call.
Interesting.
I'm sorry about that. Well, I have to say, Stephanie was going to come on for one segment, but then I got inspired and I wanted her to keep going. So next week, guys, I promise it will be a full hour of taking your calls. I'll be giving readings and talking to you live. So join us next week. And don't forget, if you want to join the sweepstakes, go to my Facebook page on the left-hand column. Click the sweepstakes. Even if you're already a fan, you just have to enter your name. And we're going to have several winners because we have a lot of good stuff to give away next week. And again, I'm just letting you guys know, I will be raising my rates as of January 1st. So if you've been thinking about getting a reading, I think we have a few more spots left in December. You can call 1-877-936-8425. And guys, beyond that, have you booked for the cruise? We were just doing the course material yesterday. We're doing meditations, you know, when we're all speaking. I'm so excited about it. So I'm just saying, it's a good gift. Come with me to the Caribbean. David will be there. If we get enough people, Benny's coming. We've talked about it.
I still want to go, though. No,
I know
regardless.
You do. I'm
regardless.
Working on it. I'm manifesting.
Right.
So go to my appearances
page. Come on,
page.
People, help me out.
go to my appearances page and click on the cruise to get more information. Guys, don't forget DougalFraser.com. Had a great show today, and next week I'll be taking all of your calls. I hope you have a good day, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. If I asked you to scratch my back, could you manage that? Like if we had chicken travel, I can handle that. Furthermore, I apologize for any skipping tracks. It's just the last girl that played me left a couple cracks. I used to, now I'm over that. Cause holding grudges over love is ancient artifacts. If I could only...